I'd just like to pray before we get into God's word and allow the Holy Spirit to encourage us with his truth. Father, we just thank you that as we've come here to be under your word, we just see how the importance of the word of God is. And Lord, it's not about the deliverer, but it's about your word. And I pray, Father, that as you speak through me today, not only that you would use me, Holy Spirit, but I pray for everyone here today to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to us. Lord, will you nudge us? Will you stir us up? Will you encourage us? Will you bring us to a greater depth of knowing you and making you known as we go forward with you, Holy Spirit, partnering with you? May there be a freedom and a liberty here today as never before. Amen. I just want to tell you that I've missed you. I really have. It's not the same sitting behind that little webcam and talking to you. And I know you're out there, but I can't see you and I can't see the expression of your faces. MS Teams has been good, but there's just something wonderful of being able to be together with you. And it's an absolute privilege. And well done for carrying on and continue. We're going to continue in our Lord and go forward in him. I want to continue as God has been laying on my heart, as the Holy Spirit's been working to encourage you in our faith and encourage you in what God's called us to do. I just want to remind you what we've covered over the last 2 weeks. We've covered a pure and simple devotion to Christ, and then last week was Eyes on His Harvest. And today I want to cover a topic which I think is very relevant and pertinent to all of us, is a servant of the Lord. And I want to expound upon that and what God has for us as His servants and what he's called us to do. So if you're turning your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. Colossians chapter 3, verse 24. I read from the NLT, the New Living Translation. Remember that the Lord will give you an inheritance as a reward, and that the master you are serving is Christ. I want to emphasize that. The master you are serving is Christ. And the NIV says, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. So there's an aspect that Jesus is our master, he's our Lord, and we are serving him. And I really believe that's a key thing for us as we go forward. And I've got some points that I want to go through today. I want to be looking at God's servant, Jesus. Secondly, Jesus, our example, and who we are in Christ. And then fourthly, Lord, what would you have me do? So what is the word servant? From the Greek, it says one, we're not servants like we see in the world that are subject to brutality and control, that is worldly slavery, but rather the servanthood that the Bible talks about is one is devoted to another and disregards his own interests. Now, a servant is one that is truly submissive and that is humble and that is one that's under authority. And unfortunately, out in the world today, there's not many servants. The worldly model that we find ourselves, the worldly ways, is filled with pride and selfishness. When we look at the world, we see those that are superior and think they're great and they're wonderful. We get those that are self-sufficient and full of their pride of self and can do all things. And then we get the secular wisdom that's out there. And unfortunately, that secular wisdom and a lot of those things come into the church, and we've got to stamp that out. And then those that live by sinful ways and evil ways. And mostly in the world that people don't find themselves under authority. The structures out there do have authority, but a lot of these people don't want to be under authority. They're undermining authority all the way. But that's not God's ways. When we've been called out of darkness and brought into the light, God calls us to be under his authority and his lordship. And that's such a key thing for every one of us. We're not called to be lone rangers. We're not called to have our own way. We come to work together as a family. We come to work together with our Lord. And we've come to be under authority. And if you never learned that in life, God puts us in families. There's authority in a family. There's authority wherever God places. And especially even in the church, there's an authority under the headship of the Lord Jesus Christ and a delegated authority given to the elders as they look after you and they shepherd you to follow the Lord. So one of the key ways that God brings us is into servanthood. This is a key thing, is that when you come to Christ, we've got our own ways, our selfish ways, and God teaches us to be servants in the kingdom of God. And eventually that servanthood comes to a place where you come to be a slave. And a slave is not like the slave trade that we've seen that had to be abolished, which was evil, but it's a slave to the kingdom of God, not seeking your own interests, but seeking the interests of him. And out of servanthood and serving as a savior, you become a son. And that's a very key component. I really believe there's a progression that God wants us to be his sons. Now, ladies, I'm not derogatory towards you and saying because of a gender-based thing, male and female is a reality here on earth. But when it comes to the kingdom of God, God's gender is sons. And ladies, one day when you go to heaven, you're going to be a son of God. And even today, you are a son of God. That's the reality of what the scriptures. It's not derogatory or speaking against you in any way. There's a sonship. And what does sonship mean? Sonship means that you've grown into maturity in Christ. So God calls us to be his servants. A servant is one who gives himself up to Christ's will and to extend and advance his cause amongst men. And that's what God has purposed for us to do. So, yeah, firstly, we have God's servant, Jesus. Now, the Lord is wonderful in who he was. God Almighty, sent by the Father, comes and becomes a servant. And we see in Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8, this is talking about Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, and made himself in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Here the Lord, God Almighty, comes to earth, and he takes on a nature of a servant, and he humbles himself. He makes a choice to be obedient to the Father. And the same with us. This example that the Lord actually gives us, we have a choice to become a servant of the Lord. You are not forced to do this in any way. God will never force you to do this. This is something that you've got to choose from your own heart, that you're going to choose to serve the Lord and to humble yourself. Humility is not a fruit. Humility is a choice. You choose to humble yourself. And it says, he who humbles himself will be lifted up by the Lord. And I'm telling you, that's a key component of all our lives. Pride is the enemy, arch enemy for all of us. And all of us suffer from pride. I promise you, every one of us suffer from issues of pride. And we've got to humble ourselves. We've got to humble ourselves before the Lord. We've got to humble ourselves before one another. And we've got to love one another. And that's where humility comes and brings the life of God coming through. In Matthew, and he gives us that scripture that says, deny self, take up your cross, and follow me. And this is very key, is that selfishness has got to be eradicated from our lives, that we can humble ourselves, that we can truly become servants of the Lord. See, the Father and Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to us, who's also a servant. And Jesus promised that, and I want to read the scriptures from John chapter 14 and John chapter 16, that he says, when I go away, I will send the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has come to serve the purposes of God on earth and to build the church with Jesus. The Holy Spirit, if you go and receive the character and the nature of God, the Holy Spirit, he is one that is humble, he is one that is gentle, and the one that has a servant nature, doing the will of the Father. Everything, whatever he hears, what's happening in the throne room of grace, he's the one that fulfills it here on earth. And then we have been sent, as the Holy Spirit was sent to earth to serve the purposes of Christ here on earth, we have been sent. And I remind you of the Great Commission and the mandate that we've all been given, our service that we've got to do in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20. You all know this very well. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always to the very end of the age. Jesus didn't just intimate that and say, I think this is a good idea. It was a command that he gave to us. And God's intention from the beginning is that we come to Christ, and then we don't come to serve our own purposes. We come to serve his purposes. And this mandate that he's given to you and I, whatever profession you find yourself, whatever lifestyle that you find, wherever you find yourself, God has given you this mandate. Every single one of us. We were talking the other day, and we're just saying is that many people say, I'm not an evangelist. And maybe you don't have the office of an evangelist, but every one of us needs to be a witness for Christ. Every one of us has to have a testimony of Christ in our lives. And this is the mandate that God gives us. He says, go and have a testimony of me. Go and make disciples of all nations. And that's for all of us in our community, in our surroundings that we find ourselves and the wider world where God places us. You see, Jesus' second point is our example. And we read from John chapter 13, verses 12 to 17. Yeah, this is the Lord of all. He's been walking with his disciples 3 years. He gets to the place before he goes to the cross, and he shows them something profound that he wants them to follow. And I read this. After washing their feet, he put on his robe and sat down and asked, "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, because that is what I am. And since I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash each other's feet. I've given you an example to follow. Do as I've done to you. I tell you the truth. Slaves are not greater than their master, nor is the messenger more important than the one who sends the message. Now that you know these things, God will bless you for doing them." And here the Lord comes and he shows us the way. You know what the dirtiest part of the disciples' body was? Wasn't their hands, wasn't their faces, it was their feet. In those days, they never had closed shoes like we had. They walked around with sandals. In Palestine, it's a desert area, so there was dust. And they were men, they sweated. And I don't know if you know, when the dirt and the grime get into those feet, and I can't imagine what those toenails looked like. But they were dirty. And yeah, the Lord didn't get squeamish about the whole thing. He went in there and he washed their feet. And he took the dirtiest part of their body and he cleansed them. So that's also an indication of cleansiness of our sin. But there was an example that he served his disciples, the Lord of all. There was the servant-heartedness. And that's the example that the Lord wants us to have, is to serve him with all our heart. In Matthew 20, 25 to 27, Jesus called them together and said, "You know the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. He said, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave." Now, the world will teach you to climb the ladder. And we know that in the business world, what actually happens, people want to climb the hierarchy. But if when it comes to the kingdom of God, if you want to go up, you must go down. If you want to go up, you must go down. And this is where Jesus says, if you want to be great, you need to be a servant. And if you want to be first, you must be a slave. And these are the words of Jesus. This is this attitude and this outworking of our lives that the Lord teaches us. You know, if you go and study an MBA in that today, you find that these guys are trying to work out new thinking of how to manage businesses. And they are finding that servant leadership is the only way that you can lead structures of people and teams. And that's what Jesus has told us here. We've got to serve. It's a servant-heartedness, and that's where God wants us to do. You know, I was just listening to someone that was preaching on this, and they were just saying many of our cultures are very different. And they say in America, they don't have a heart very easily that submits, and they battle with this whole thing of servanthood. But in Germany, there's a heart of submissiveness. There's a heart to want to do those things. I don't know about South Africa. I think we have a problem with entitlement in our nation, and we need to deal with that. But I tell you, from the kingdom point of view, we need to be a place and be submitting and become servants and slave. And then the scripture says to outwork this, that we need to be clothed ourselves in humility. In 1 Peter 5, verse 5, it says, "Clothe yourselves with humility towards one another. God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble." And I want to just say that it's important. And you know why I say this again to remind you is that pride is even a problem in the church. And I can tell you now, even amongst pastors, it's a problem. The self-sufficiency, the selfish ambition, the personal ambition, the conceit that is even here in the church needs to be broken. And I want to just really encourage us that we've got to work hard on this matter, is that we don't become self-sufficient, that we can do all things in our own strength, that we won't work together with one another, that selfish ambition becomes a key thing in our lives because it's our way and not your way. And I'm telling you now, I've learned over the years, and especially in marriage has taught me is that I'm not always right and my will is not always the best will. But when I learn to submit and to humble myself before Nikki and listen to her, even when she's wrong and I'm right, No, I'm serious here now. It works out for the good when I don't push my will upon her. And the reality of that, that's what's got to be in the church. And all our problems is here that we come into the church with our perspectives and we come and try and tell people this is what you must do instead of coming and submitting to the authorities and submitting to the life of the church. And out of that, God brings life. It's not about being right and wrong. It's about being humble and say, Lord, your will be done. And you know, one of the greatest things that you can ever do in life, God can give you a promise. But you know what? That promise can be something that's going to demand of you to give it back to him. And that happened to Abraham. Abraham was late in life and God gave him a promise to be a father of many nations. And the promise came and Sarah gave birth to Isaac. But the challenge wasn't over there. The greatest challenge wasn't the birth of Isaac. The greatest challenge was the sacrifice of Isaac to the Lord. When Abraham went up that mountain and he took his son there and he was going to sacrifice him to the Lord saw his heart. And I'm telling you now, whatever the promises that God's given you, whatever the aspects of your life, whatever, can I just say, anything that you own, you've got to release to become a steward and release it to the Lord that it doesn't become yours, because otherwise you become Lord over the matter. And it can become your personal ambition, and we need to break that. And we got to release that as we submit it to the Lord and submit it to those around us. And you know what? When you do that, there's resurrection power. There's resurrection power. God came, and at that time when Isaac was sacrificed, he provided a ram for a sacrifice. That was, in a sense, God's provision. And you will find provision when you release it and submit it to God. So how do we go forward in this? In Christ, as slaves for the Lord, for servants of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 5, it says, we do not preach ourselves, but we preach Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as servants for Jesus. So important as we go forward, God wants us, as we preach Christ, we serve the Lord for his sake, for his purposes going forward. And I just got some scriptures here just to encourage you. Live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way. Colossians 1:10. And we pray this in order that your life might be worthy of the Lord and may please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. How do we please the Lord? And you've got to ask that question. This is not something that to say, well, the scripture says that. Are you pleasing your Lord? You can serve him with the wrong attitude. You can say, well, okay, I will serve you. But if you don't have this right attitude, you're not pleasing him. We can do it with the wrong motives. You know, a lot of you know, you heard the story about the child at school where the teacher said, sit down. And he didn't want to sit down, but eventually he sat down. And then he came back to her after and said, but I was sitting down, but in my heart I was standing up. And that's the heart. God knows the hearts. We've got to be in a place. Are we pleasing the Lord in what we are doing? And as we serve the Lord, we've got to take hold of every opportunity that God gives us, because this mission that we have, God gives to every single one of us, and God gives us opportunities. He opens doors. Ephesians 5, verse 15, it says, making the most of every opportunity to preach the gospel. And then the next point, be doers of the word, not just hearers. This is very important, and I really believe the season that God has brought us in, the 7 months that we've been at home to get us strong again, but now it's a time to do what he's called us to do. James chapter 1, verse 20. Slave for Christ, we become sons of God. And this is very important. Romans 8, verse 14. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. That's where you grow into maturity. So I said all that to say what I'm going to say now. This is important. The Lord spoke to Ivan and said, Mark, the Lord wants to give you a blueprint for the church. Okay, Ivan, now you're putting pressure on me what God's wanting us to do as a family. So we managed to have a bit of time away, and I went to a Christian bookstore in Sedgefield, and I found this book, and it just was all about this. And the title I give it to you is, Lord, what would you have me do? And in Matthew 10, verse 42, says, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones because he is my disciple, I tell you the truth, he will certainly not lose his reward. It was the doing of the gospel, to have this testimony of Jesus. Now, as I read this book, I was absolutely enthralled. There was a this preacher in 1860 in one of the suburbs in Chicago, and he was looking at his church and he was saying, these are becoming fat cats. They're becoming comfortable. It's all about them. They're becoming apathetic. They come into the gathering just to be fed, but they are doing nothing with it. And he was very concerned. And the Lord showed him that, remember the lady with the woman with the issue of blood, when she reached out and touched Jesus, something actually happened. And he said to, we've as a people got to get people to touch Jesus. Not touch us, but touch Jesus. And he started to stir them up and said, guys, you've got to be led by the Holy Spirit and you've got to be doing what the Lord wants you to do. And this is when the testimony came. He called, Christianity is not just about this gathering. Christianity is the rest of our lives as we live out, as we follow our Lord. So he challenged the church. And not everyone responded to that, but some people did. And I want to give some of the testimonies that took place. There was a man who owned one of the local newspapers there. And he went away, and that week there was a big boxing match. It was a prize fight. And as he was waiting upon the Lord, he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he sensed the Lord say to him, don't report on it. That's what I don't want you to do. So he said to his editor that put the whole thing together, he said, we're not going to do that. And then the response came back from the community and said, but we wanted to know about the fight. Why aren't you not doing that? He said, no, I'm just doing what God has told me to do. Then he said, we're not going to put any gossip in. We're not going to put any slanderous things in. All those adverts that were of ill repute, we're not putting into the newspaper. And his subscriptions died. It cost him money. And he nearly lost this paper over a number of months because he was doing what the Lord was telling him to do. So he went back to the church where they were having a time together every week just to encourage one another. And he said, this is what's actually happening. I'm about to lose the newspaper because I'm doing what God told me to do. And there was a lady in the church that had a lot of money. She said, in those days, I will give you $500,000 and go and do what God's told you to do. And he took that money, and that was the birth of Christian print, that he started to print things about Christianity and about things to encourage people. And that's what we have today. It's changing to the different medium forms today. But that was something when a man obeyed, Lord, what do you want me to do? There was a businessman that he had this company and he had all these workers. And he said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he was looking at his workers, and at lunchtime, they would sit in their little corners and they would have their little parcels that they were eating. He said, I need to do something for my workers. So what he did, he created a place with tables and chairs, and he started to provide meals at lunchtime, gave them time at lunchtime to sit in fellowship and have their meals together. And that was the modern day thing where we expect when you work for bigger corporates, there's a canteen, there's availability. That came from a leading of the Lord. There was a lady that had an incredible gift of singing. She was offered to go. In those days, the opera was massive, and people wanted to go. That she would have been a top opera singer. And she said, no, what do you want me to do, Lord? And the Lord said, give your gift to me. And she took her voice, and she started to work with those who went out and did crusades and that, and she started to sing. And her voice led many, many people to the Lord. And there was just something in these people that God stirred. He said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Even two pastors, they were in stable communities and they were happy. They had all their provision. And they thought, Lord, this is not what you want me to do. They gave up those pastorates and they went into the slum areas and they started to work there and they started to reach the poor people. And God did something absolutely incredible. So my challenge is for us. We've come out of this season, or not totally out of it, but God's taking us into a new season. And you know, we receive the power of the Holy Spirit to be witnesses of Christ. And my challenge for you, and I really believe it's been a challenge to the church, and it's not just our church, but it's the church worldwide, is that we need to be lighthouses, and we need to be people that have a testimony for Jesus and going out there. So I encouraged you last week that you need to have your testimony. Have you started to work on that? How the Lord brought you to a knowledge of Him. Also, then Mother Teresa said, work with the face in front of you. And you know, we the days of crusades are not a reality. And especially under this restrictions now, we're not going to get back to those things. But how is God going going to reach the people in our community. It's one by one. It's you and I. It's your friends. It's your family. It's your work colleagues. And I'm telling you now, when you start to put the thing as, Lord, what do you want me to do? There are people working for you, and the people that you have relationship with, you've never, ever, ever touched them with Jesus. And I think it's time. You know, I was through this time now, things have happened at home, and I was just thinking, who can I touch now, Lord? Now, on Friday, a neighbor came, and I gave some of our agapanthus away. I said, okay, Lord, there's someone we've got to sort out, and we've got to reach out to. We've built a friendship now. There's a door open. Our Wendy house burned down. But God always works for good. Now we're friends with a neighbor at the back now. And he's chatting over the fence. I've never had an opportunity to chat. I said, Lord, that's somewhere we can reach out. And we can bring him to Christ. You know, I was just thinking, Quentin, we've got the cycling group that we get through on Saturdays. There are guys and girls in that environment there. They know nothing of the Lord. It's an opportunity for us to get them to know the Lord. And I want to just say, God has got a work for us to do wherever you find yourself. We all need to be people focused and allow that to take place. And I just want to encourage you today is that I'm asking you a big want, because I want us to make a commitment. And this is just not a once-off thing, because the power of this is, not because I'm asking you for a commitment today, it's going to be when you come back at how God has actually worked with you, and you have a testimony of how the Lord has actually worked with you. Like I was just sharing how I really sense God's opportunity that he's giving me and myself and Nikki to reach out to our community. When we come here on a Sunday or into the church in the homes or in the prayer meetings, and we give testimony of how God, and it's not how irrelevant it is. Everything is, you know, someone came to the gate the other day. It was another beggar. And I was just said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord said, go and make him a sandwich. Okay, I never do that. You know, and I went there and I got the bread out and I made a lovely peanut butter sandwich. Gave it to him, presented it nicely, and I gave it to him. You know what? It wasn't about feeding him. It was I was obeying the Lord, and I felt the pleasure of God upon me because I obeyed him. And I want to say to you is that nothing's irrelevant when it comes to even a cup of cold water, as the scripture says. And I'm telling you now, we have an opportunity in our community and the people that we're living around to touch them with the love and the kindness of God. You know, Mark Elliott's not here today, but I was so impressed by him yesterday. We're on the bicycle, and he's saying, morning, ladies, morning, how are you? And he was just greeting everyone, and everyone was responding, and they were waving, how are you? And I just think, we have kept stum for too long. We all have a voice, and in who your personality is and who you are, I'm asking you, will you make a commitment to do what the Lord wants you to do? And the question I want to leave in your heart, and we're going to massage it and we're going to give some more emphasis just to keep reminding you, Lord, what would you have me do? Because this is truly to be a servant of the Lord. This is not something fancy. It's what God's called us to do. And let me tell you, when we do that, we will be blessed. We'll find the adventure of serving the Lord. Maybe you've lost the fervor and the zeal of serving the Lord. This will bring the fervor and the zeal again. It will change you forever when you touch people with Jesus. Because Christ lives in you, erst by me in any way. I want you to pray about it and think about it. Lord, am I committed to doing this thing? And when we come back next week, if you're ready and you've spoken to the Lord about this thing and you're serious about this thing to do, and listen to him, not what I'm telling you to do. I sense he's saying that to us. But you do what he tells you to do. Can we do that? Amen. I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to hand over to Craig. Father, we just thank you that you're stirring us to do your will. And Father, I commit every one of us here this morning and those on YouTube, that Lord, as we take this thing back to you in prayer, I pray that you would speak to us very clearly and encourage us. And Lord, as we come back next week, that we'll be able to be in a place, Lord, to make a commitment to you and do what you're telling us to do. So Lord, thank you for this great opportunity that we can serve you, that we can truly be servants of the Lord, and through that grow to maturity to be sons of God. Thank you, Father. Amen.